Well, good morning, everyone. Well, it's a blessing to begin a new year, 2019, and I'm thankful for what we already heard this morning. I would like to continue the message that has already been introduced to us by Brother Ed this morning, but hopefully I can go a little bit more on the practical side as we look into the new year and talk about visions and goals and desires that we have. And I would just like to open up here a little bit about a positive attitude. And I suppose the title on our message could be A Positive Attitude in a Negative World. And we may ask ourselves a question, how is that possible? When we know a little bit what's going on in the world today, the news, the nations, the wars, the fightings, the famines, the earthquakes, tornadoes and volcanoes, droughts and storms and floods, and all these things that we have experienced in the past year, as we look behind us, how can we have a positive attitude in a negative world? And I think that's very important. I see too many people who have a negative attitude. They are affected by the things around them and apparently don't have their eyes well enough focused on the better things of life, or else they just coast. And I challenge you whether you're just coasting with whatever's going on in the world today. And since so much of that is negative, it affects you in the same way. I already had a vivid illustration this morning on a positive attitude. My wife pulled her little cart up here beside me a little bit and to say hello to Devin. Michael and Devin are here from the state of Washington, and we're very grateful to have them finally with us again. But Devin put the little boy on Rhoda's lap and left him enjoy her and her cart a little bit. And I don't know what Michael's been teaching him, but he got a hold of the handlebars immediately and thought that this has to be something that goes forward. And he began to push at this thing. And that is an illustration I immediately saw in light of that. He had a positive attitude because he was on something that had handlebars and he thought it has to go. And so he began to push at it when it didn't go, and he messed around with the key and the buttons and the knobs and everything that he could to see if he couldn't make this thing go forward. I likewise have to remember when I was a boy, when we would start plowing with the hand plow, and three horses in a 15-acre field, we would try to focus on the other end of the field at a post or something. And I was supposed to lead the horse and head for that post in order to make a straight furrow through the field. My father would take the plow, and I would take the horse by the bridle, walk beside him, and try to guide that horse in a straight line, keeping focused on a given post at the other end of the field. And if I didn't get my eyes off on another post or on something different, we were able to make a pretty good furrow. And then, of course, when we had that first round trip made, then he gave the plow to me, and I was supposed to continue to go around and plow the field that way. The focus of the lesson this morning is that I think what needs to happen is that we must focus on something that is further out there. And that, I believe, is the secret of having a positive attitude in a negative world. If we look just on what has been happening in the last year here with all the things I mentioned, and probably every one of them has happened in the world today, You all know how wet it is here and how much extra rain we had. I hear we broke all records that are on the books with 62 inches of rain. Normally we have about 36, and it's just been wet almost all year long, especially since July. And almost very difficult to get the crops in and to make hay and many other things the farmers had to do. But so let us turn our Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look at this whole concept of a positive attitude in a negative situation. Now, I believe it is very necessary that we do that. And like I say, we have a lot of people today who are very depressed. A lot of people on medicine, a lot of people seeing psychiatrists and other doctors and clinics and what have you, to try to get a bit of a positive attitude because of their circumstances that they are looking at, apparently to them are too negative. Well, some of that, of course, is our own fault, but I just rejoice with you all this morning and having received the news on Friday evening, a very interesting thing that we have. When I left the Old Order Amish Church, I was the only one in a family, in my father's family, with 15 children, and there were many, many, many grandchildren coming, and still coming pretty rapidly. Then it ended up that I probably had about 130 or so cousins, first cousins, and I never got to know them all. I was of the older section a bit, and so I never got to know the younger ones. But very, very few of them ever left the church. Primarily myself and my siblings left the Old Order Church, and other than that, there's been very, very few. They were very strict and very disciplined and very traditional. And so it was just what their parents taught them, that's where they fell in line. But we have been able to observe in the next generation something different is happening. And one after another, we hear of my cousin's children are being born again. And another happened just recently, and I hear his life was so negative that he was at the counseling centers like Green Pastures and this one and that one, different times, and twice in the crisis center in Lancaster, I think at the General Hospital, I'm not acquainted with it very well. He was suicidal, and he got born again. And the report is that he is a changed man, and so different already, attending a local Bible study down in the Holtwood area. And so I would love to go visit him, because I would imagine that I would find a man with a positive attitude in a negative past that he has lived in a negative world that he's been a part of. Having a true positive attitude makes you view your life seem broad and full of possibilities. And as I think we view a new year in front of us, if we believe the scriptures according to the prophecies as I understand it, we may experience a continuation of more negative things happening in our world today. And so, how can we have a positive attitude in light of that, with increased difficulty and troubles coming upon the world? Sometimes when we sit together, we talk about it. It's that way politically. It's that way morally. It's that way as far as catastrophic happenings and accidents and sicknesses and diseases, and on we could go. But yet I believe, and have adopted for myself the ability by the grace of God to actually have a positive attitude in the midst of all that. And I can view the news and I can see them for what they are and grieve over it momentarily, perhaps, of all the killings and the robbings and the everything else that one finds out today. And the reason is because as I plow the field today, I have my eyes on a post way down there. And I head toward that. And that is, I expect great and good things to come because I follow the Lord and I have an opportunity to do good and to make the best out of negative situations. I was sat across the table the other night. They had a company supper, and a man sat across the table from me, and he said, "It doesn't matter to me whether we're going to lose the Congress, whether we lose the Senate, whether we lose the House, whether we lose the presidency." He said, "I have a duty to fulfill, an obligation to preach the gospel, and so I'm going to do it whether Washington is Republican or Democrat or whatever they are." And I thought, that was a further stimulation to my thought patterns concerning this whole matter. Negative attitudes, they say, promote fear and the narrowing of the focus in the mind, while positive attitudes do the opposite. No one should constantly be trembling in fear of the future. That is a worry that shouldn't come. The Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We should not worry about the future, even though, like I say, we have prophecies that we may be in the beginning of sorrows or with much difficulty coming in the last days. And we have that, but I do believe the Christian is able to rise above that and set his focus down the road on good things and even presently on good things that can be done in the midst of a negative situation that we may find ourselves. Well, let us read some of these verses and go down over them here a bit in 1 Peter chapter 4. He found himself in great opposition and negative situation, and he was able to do that, and we can learn something from him today. Shall we read? "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." What an awesome verse. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking you of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh and live according to God in the spirit." Wonderful. "But the end of all things is at hand," and here's where he gets quite practical again. "Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth." Are you able to clean toilets? Are you able to do other things that Brother Ted spoke to us a little bit ago about? then do it as a gift that God giveth. You have the ability to do it, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Amen. I might have time to read a few more verses later, but I'd like to focus on that portion of Scripture this morning. For then, as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Here is an instruction, a very instructional verse for us as Christians, that we recognize that Christ suffered in the flesh, and that we are now asked to arm ourselves likewise and be of the same mind, because there is a higher level of victory available to those that dare to bear the cross and suffer in the flesh for the cause of Christ. That's how I understand it. I don't know how else to interpret it, but I believe that that is has been a reality. I have tasted of that in my own life, in some of the difficulties that I've gone through as a Christian, having been opposed by many for the stand that I took, or what I believed, or because of the word that I preached or taught. I've had a portion of rejection and difficulty because of that. And in the midst of that, I experienced that joy and that exuberance many times that would not have happened if I'd had acceptance. And we need to lay hold of that and arm ourselves with that in anticipation of looking into the future and looking forward, that there's a joy in suffering and arming ourselves with the same mind that Christ had, that we are willing to suffer reproach and to bear the cross for the name of Jesus. And so I actually believe that we should and can have a positive attitude concerning the future and the difficulties that are coming upon us in the world in which we live, because it will give opportunity for us to suffer reproach for His name's sake, because of what we believe, because of the stands we take, because of the way we raise our children, because of how we dress, because of the obedience that we believe is ours according to the Scripture, and that in turn brings opposition from the world in which we live and where we move and work and all that. And that should then bring a thrill and an encouragement and a joy that otherwise we wouldn't have. And I'm excited about that, because and I believe it's coming. I see it coming in the rest of the world. We hear what's going on in China. We hear what's going on in Indonesia and in Africa and various countries, in Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, and the other Muslim countries where they oppose Christianity so strongly. And even what did I hear this past week, that someone was again found himself, I think it was in Minnesota, in trouble for presenting himself in a way that was right and good. But anyway, so we believe that thing may be coming, and that may give us opportunity to more and more bear that reproach and be different and be mocked and be considered extreme and radical and off the wall and what have you, and therefore look down upon and be rejected by certain people because of it. But that should not discourage us. Remember, keep your eye on the post on the other side. Keep your eye on the other side. And that is eternity. That is, maybe to you it may be the time when Christ will rule in righteousness and when judgment is coming and all accounts will be settled as every man will stand before God to give an account what he has done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Judgment will be meted out upon all evildoers. And therefore, there's a day coming when all these things will be settled and reckoned with, and Jesus Christ will be king over all the earth and will deal with these things. But not only do we have that for a space of time, but we also can look forward to an eternity of that into the future. And so may we take these scriptures very personal today in that way. And that we would no longer live our time in the lusts of the flesh and so on, like it says in verse 2 and 3. And individuals are going to think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot. We can't attend some of their parties. We can't attend some of their weddings. We can't attend some of the reunions and the other parties that we may be invited to. But and people may talk about us and say negative things because we don't join in the family or join in the party or join in the celebration, because we grieve over the wrong things that are happening there, but and therefore we can't go. But that is another lesson that I have on the practical side. If we want to have a positive attitude in a negative world, we should associate ourselves with circumstances and surroundings that are positive and that contribute to us rather than drain us and continue to take away from us. There are many circumstances in our day that are very negative and very draining, and people are complaining all the time and looking on the dark side of everything. And have you ever spent an hour or two with people like that and recognized the effect it had in your own life, and you had to think, well, I want to get out of here? And I have had many experiences like that in life, and say, well, I don't think I'm going to go back there very often, or I don't think I'm going to cuddle up to people like that. That just seemingly sapped the strength out of you. And even though I believe if we have the right attitude, we can handle some of that. Don't have to run away from people right away that are that way. But nevertheless, it does behoove us to make choices as to who we associate with and who we are in contact with and spend time with and so on. So much more could be said of that. I wish I could speak for a half an hour on bringing a positive attitude into our homes. Already, Brother Ed laid a beautiful foundation for it this morning, and he touched on the Bible reading and devotional life. And that is something that's just a blessing in our home. I believe it's good in order, I think it's, it reduces stress and confusion when we have an order and we have things organized a bit and we know what is expected when we do what, when, and so on. And for us, that is a blessing in the morning to sit down and to together take turns one verse at a time, reading the Word of God together and then having prayer. And I look forward to that. We just finished the book of Deuteronomy in the last months, and it was just, we were just amazed at the many things, again, that in the Old Testament can be applied to our life. But just to have that regular, that routine, is a helpful matter to have a positive attitude concerning life instead of dragging ourselves out of bed and maybe hitting the snooze button a couple of times and now we're late, now we're in a hurry, and now we quick have to eat breakfast and get off to work and we don't have time for a relaxed atmosphere concerning the Word of God, or we have no time to discuss it and so on. So there are so many things in that area, but I want to give an overview on this matter, so I don't want to spend an awful lot of time on that. But when he says here in verse 7, here is Peter, and he says all these things, to expect persecution and to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind that Jesus had. And in our Bible study, for those of you who have come, you're very well aware of where we've been going with it the last couple of studies in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And he had himself so armed in the mind that he didn't even defend himself when he had all these false accusations come against him, and he sometimes wouldn't answer a word or say, well, thou hast said, and stood before Pilate, and he didn't even try to work himself out of the situation, because he had armed himself with the mindset that he came to die and to sacrifice himself for the kingdom's sake, for the people, for the like Caiaphas said, it's expedient that one man die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. But here in Peter looks back, he saw that whole thing, and then he says, now you arm yourselves, or we need to arm ourselves likewise in the same mind. And that would be that we are here to serve, we are here to contribute to God's kingdom, to the body of Christ, to the church. We're here to do good to other people. We're not here to satisfy ourselves and serve ourselves, but we're here for others and for God's kingdom's sake. And when we have that mind, then we can have a positive attitude in a negative world in which we live, I believe with all my heart. So the end of all things is at hand. And I don't know, it seems like Peter realized when he wrote this, I'm not sure whether he wrote this very long before he was crucified upside down, but he was minded that way. He was willing to die, so much so when to crucify him, he asked to be crucified upside down because I believe of his denial of the Lord, he did not feel worthy to be crucified like Christ was, and asked to have it done upside down. It's just an amazing thing to me that he had armed himself, just like he wrote here, to suffer and to die for the kingdom. Now let me tell you, if you are, if you have that mindset and you are arming yourself the same way, that you are willing to die for the cause of Christ, you are willing to lay your life on the line, you are willing to suffer for his name's sake and suffer reproach and be rejected by people. If you have that mindset looking forward in the year 2019, then let come what may. And you're not going to despair, you're not going to run, you're not going to deny him. And I think that is a very positive thing for us to look forward. Brother Ed admonished us concerning goals. We can have goals. We can have resolutions in our life and of things that we want to do and we want to see accomplished. But I would say this is paramount in our life, that if we have armed ourselves that we are willing to suffer rather than deny him, rather than apostatize, rather than to disobey, as Ted said this morning, the scriptures and what God wants of us, and we have armed ourselves to do his will, then let come what may, and we'll make the best of it. If it happens in this year, it happens in this year. If it happens in 5 or 10 years, it happens then. But until then, we are going to make a contribution for God, for the truth, for that which is right. And they can only kill us, and that'll only transport us, like Peter, into glory sooner and experience the joys that are given there. So he says, in light of that, be sober, in verse 7, and watch on the prayer. I wanted to think of chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We're finding a rise of Satanism in our world today. And a lot of bad things are happening in that realm. And we are pretty isolated from that in the community here in Lancaster County, which we live, because we don't have the concentration of that like they do in other places, perhaps. Nevertheless, it's also here. We keep hearing about it, but more in secret, perhaps, that we don't run into it very much. But to think that the devil is out there and seeking whom he may devour, and that we should be sober and watch on the prayer that we might be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all honesty and all godliness in the midst of the world in which we live. Having preparations made, for no matter what happens, we can come through it and come through it victorious. And above all things, look at how high he puts this whole matter of love again, like Paul did in 1 Corinthians 13 and so on. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And I would like to say, I appreciate that very deeply, the love that flows here, that one can feel, one can sense, one can look each other in the eye in our general meeting and seeing each other and meeting one another, that is a reality that is not perfect. It's not everything it should be, perhaps, but it is there in such a pronounced way that I rejoice in it and only hope, as the Scripture would teach us, that in the coming year, we might even be able to increase it to a higher level yet. That's one of my goals, one of my desires. This church has definitely moved forward, I believe, in the past year. And I want to thank everyone that has made a contribution to that. But I believe nearly everyone has made some contribution to make that happen. And it is felt, it is sensed, it is a joy, it is a reality that I think is thankworthy to God for. And he says that shall hide a multitude of sins. And it is. You know, we could nitpick each other and begin to tear each other apart. And so many times people do those things. But if that fervent charity is the way it ought to be, it just covers over a lot of the imperfections that still may be in our lives. But nevertheless, we move forward and upward, and hopefully that love will continue. And every man, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word gift there, it's like the opportunities, the abilities that we have are the gifts. Every man hath received something we can do for God's kingdom. There's no one excluded, I don't think, in this room. There's just something even a child can smile and be friendly and be a blessing, that it already is making a real contribution to all of us. When we meet children like that, or others meet them and are well behaved in the store or the restaurant or in public life, the world notices that, and they at times make many compliments when they see that. So from young and old, all of us have a gift that we can spend for the glory of God and minister in that way, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then he gets a bit specific, and he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And that word means as the utterance of God. Don't get up and make apologetic and weak and statements concerning the Christian life, but speak as the oracles of God. The thus saith the Lord, that this is true and this can be depended upon and you can count on it and give it in a positive way when you speak the oracles of God. If you're asked to have devotions, you're asked to lead in prayer, you're asked to do it in that way, is what I believe he's speaking of. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And that word minister would be in a serving way. If you have an opportunity to give, whether it be money, whether it be food, whether it be hospitality in your home, because that is also mentioned here, all these things we have an opportunity to lay out there and to share with what God has given to us, and it is a benefit. We should do it as the ability which God giveth. and be thankful that we have the opportunity to do it. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I think I'll probably go on. I would like to spend a little bit of time, as I mentioned before here, on some of the practical sides of life, and just give some encouragement concerning living positively in a negative world. The first one I already mentioned some is surround yourself with positive people. Don't spend a lot of time with the negative. The Bible says, or people have said already, birds of a feather flock together. And it is known, even by those who have studied it, that people in a group become the same or similar over time. So if you spend a lot of time with negative talk or negative people that are just depressed and down and just looking the dark side of life, you know, there's just so many different ways that you can get up in the morning. You can get up and look out the window and talk about the clouds, which we've had a lot of, or the rain again, or like that. Or you can take a breath of fresh air, whether it be moist or whether it be dry, and are thankful and bless the Lord for a new day and an opportunity to serve Him. And so it's very important that we have that attitude and we hang around with people like that. The Bible, people have also said, who you hang around with rubs off on you. So try to connect with people who enjoy their work, enjoy what they're doing, and appreciate life and appreciate being here on earth. The second one I have is fill your mind with positive input. There, in the practical side, I would say we can, of course, say, as already Brother Ed did, concerning the scriptures and so on. But on the practical side, I would just like to say, read a good book. I have to think of us as a ministry. I think all three of us have read Gary Miller's book on church matters. And I know for all three of us, we have to say we gleaned some things from that, as Brother Nathan made a message somewhat out of some of the things he learned from there. And I'm sure he could have a couple more probably. But sit down and read a good book, a book that's inspirational, that's uplifting, that gives you new ideas, fresh ideas on how the church should handle all the different matters that come its way, and so on. The next one would be to listen to good music or positive music, or better yet, make the music yourself, either by song or instrument. I think it's good that we surround ourselves with good, constructive, building music, not the kind that is cheap and watered down or sad or pulls you down, but rather something that is positive in that way. And also, if you're going to listen to or watch video clips or so on, then watch things that are educational, that instruct you in how to do things. My wife has enough recipes around that I don't think I would get the same meal twice if I'd live another 30 years. But anyway, she still tries to get new recipes and try them and do this or do that. But those things are constructive and they're good. I say, where'd you get this recipe? Well, I got it off the internet, you know, she'll say. And I thought I'd want to try it. Truly, she constantly keeps me challenging recipes of things that are good. But that's just one area. We can do the same in mechanical or electronic or just every area of life, practically. There are things to learn and to instruct ourselves and to perhaps, we live in a different world, you know. I get out on the job sometimes, and you know, over the years I've done plumbing, heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, and many different things. And sometimes I've had to, well, where's the manual? But now you can just go on your phone and you can find out how to fix it. Well, what do you do if this is wrong with a certain piece of equipment or a certain car or truck or tractor or whatever, or how to start it? And I bought a John Deere tractor this summer and I didn't know how to set the brakes. And you can just ask questions like that, and I finally found out how to do it. Anyway, so many positive and good and right things to do it. All right, the third point I would have is control your language. It is true, according to Scripture, that what comes out of your mouth, that has a powerful influence in your life. We need to be conscious of the words that we speak. Are they constructive? Are they, and even we are asked to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering, but are they designed to make the individual better that you speak them to? Whether we speak up here or we speak to one another, I think we should have a real desire in this coming year and ongoing years that we are conscious of the words we speak, and that has a positive influence in our life also. The fourth point I have on a practical side is to create a routine for the day. I have life sometimes can get too routine. I understand that. But I do believe that a certain routine is easy to follow. You set that thing in motion of how you start your day and when the children gather around for breakfast and how you eat your breakfast and how you behave at the table and how you prepare for bed and when bedtime is and all those things. You have a structure and a routine for those things. Life will be so less frustrating, I think you will find also. Routines give us a good fallback structure. A morning routine, he says here, is especially good. Another one is to take real care how we treat each other, how that we're nice to each other, we're nice to people, be kind one to another. And that brings a happiness to our own soul. So we shouldn't do it just in that motivation. We do it because God said it. We do it because it's the right thing to do. But be kind and be nice one to another. Somebody made a study on happiness once that found that the memory of doing something kind was something that caused us to want to do it again. That's been my experience, my testimony. You do something nice for somebody and they appreciate it, you just would wish you'd have another opportunity real soon to do some more of that. I've had that experience numerous times. If you make being nice to other people a regular thing, it'll become a cycle of generosity and happiness that'll make you feel good as well. I think it is also good, again, to look out ahead in life, even in the day, or the week, or the month, or even the year, and create high points in each day or week. I don't know about you, but I've done that since a child. I remember as a child, I would look forward in the end of summer, and I would mark certain days that I knew were coming in the future. It might be somebody's wedding. It might be, it could be a lot of different things, you know, that it might be a trip somewhere. It might be a church function that we look forward to, like Bible school, or when we know a lot of people, young people are coming together and there will be instruction and fellowship. And it's good to look forward to good things out ahead of you, rather than just deal in the difficulties of the day or allow the like they say, the cloudy days of springtime, March. They say, I think a lot of people are seeing psychiatrists or even taking their own life in the spring of the year when it's cloudy and cold and dark yet and so on. And rather than to look ahead and look for this too soon shall pass, you know, and soon we'll be out in the gardens and we'll be planting and we'll be eating of our gardens. But I especially like to look forward to good things that I know that are on the schedule for the coming year. But even more so, if we can do it looking all the way to eternity and looking at the end of life and looking at heaven and looking at eternal, no more crying, tears, and so on. So look forward. Don't just look on the present situation. You may be in a difficulty right now, but look forward to a positive thing. Create some high points in your daily schedule. Another one would be that I'd like to give is to assume responsibility. Sometimes we complain about our situation or about the situation with my job or my in our community or church or family or whatever. But I would say take responsibility as much as you can to bring about a change where you can. For you just to complain about it or I just to complain about it is one thing. For us to say, well, I'm willing to take responsibility for some of the situation we got ourselves into here, whether it be financially, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, but emotionally, or the atmosphere that we have in the home, and I'm not joyful enough, I'm not singing enough, I'm not praising enough, I'm not of a positive attitude enough. Let's take the responsibility ourselves for those things and say, by God's grace, it's going to be different. I'm going to look at the brighter side of life and the positive things of life that are true and right and just and pure and good and so on. Assume that responsibility. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame the children for making it difficult. It's perhaps your fault anyway as a parent for not having more order or more organization in your home that makes things so chaotic and makes things so depressing that you find it at times very possible. The next thing I have is here, have a mission in life. Have a mission in life. Have a strong desire to influence somebody for the kingdom of God's sake. Share the gospel with somebody, or to just make something better, visit a widow and do something for her, or other needy people, families or orphans or whatever. Make a contribution as a mission in life. Don't just float along in life, but try to have a mission. Well, this year I'd like to make a contribution in someone else's life. If you don't have money for traveling, like going to Haiti or doing something in a foreign mission for the gospel's sake, do it locally. Do it in your own ability. Surely, with the population that we have and all different kinds of people that we have around us, we surely have opportunity. Another thing I would like to encourage you in a positive way is to reduce your debt. I'm not saying that you can get out of debt this year. That may be too big, depending what your situation is. But reduce your debt. That means sacrifice and deny yourself in areas that you are able to make a contribution against your own debt. Especially so if you have credit card debts. My greatest encouragement is to do everything you can where you can pay them off each month. If you can't handle them, then get rid of them. But reduce your debt there. And that means deny yourself of other things you could do to spend money in order to reduce your debt. That'll give you a good feeling about yourself, a feeling of positive accomplishment. You see the interest charges going down on the card or any other debts we have. And I'm not talking about buying a house this year or something like that, which you may be in need of. But I'm talking about the little things of life around us that are frustrating, they're depressing. Every time the mail comes and the bills come and we see how much we owe and, oh no, I see it only went up again last year, last month, last week. So try to reduce your debt. That would be another one. And stop complaining about things. That is another one. Have an attitude of some humor, some laughter. It's good for the soul in the home and not to just have a negative attitude. And then on the, I have a few practical things I'd just like to give in closing that I consider a need here in our own congregation or perhaps in our own life. I would like to encourage you to reduce stress. If you have a stressful situation, then I would say take responsibility as much as you can for that and try to reduce the stressful points in your life. Many, many times if we would determine so and set that post out in front of us and head for it, we could reduce stress in a major way in our life. Just by how we handle it, take responsibility for it, and try to eliminate the stressful points of your life. Much practical thought could go into that. Another one I'd like to encourage here is to be prompt and on time. That is a frustration whether you want to admit it or not. You perhaps, some of you may have done it for so long that it's not even a frustration for you to always be late. But I encourage you to make that change and determine to make it that I will be there on time. Not just your appointments here, but your appointments anywhere, everywhere. Start early. Make sure you're there. I do it for doctors, dentists, whatever. I do not like to walk in 5 minutes late to a dentist or a doctor appointment. I think it's a poor testimony. They have an appointment. They're waiting for me to be there at 10 o'clock. I should walk in the door at 10 or 5 minutes till 10 and be able to be there when they call me. Be prompt and on time. The next thing, or the last thing, I think our time has run out here. I think I'll close with this. Make a new friend in your ahead of you this year. Hopefully you can make a bunch of them. But for me, that's a blessing. I enjoy meeting people. I have at times gone to places where I just simply expect to meet some new people and end up having a new friend, a new acquaintance, someone that I could contact perhaps in the future. Make a new friend. Somebody. Even though I think we can say that when we have so many friends, we can't hardly handle the ones we do have, maybe, or contact them as many as we'd like. But still, take that positive attitude to make new friends. Well, much more could be said. The time has run out here, but I would just like to say, is it possible to live positive in a negative world? And I think the answer is yes. That even in spite of the things that are going on in the world today and the current events and the trouble we have nationally, I believe that we can arrange that so to still look at life in a positive way, keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, have the hope of heaven alive in your own breast, and be able to make a contribution to other people to make them a make life easier for someone else in a giving way, in a serving way, ministering to the need of others. And it'll bring joy and happiness to your own heart. Thank you. May God bless you.
I know all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I was thinking you can be glad I couldn't write faster. I have more to say up here. And just don't, maybe I'll just limit it to that last point. Make a friend. Now you took it where you wanted to go, but you could make a friend right here in this congregation. He was speaking to us as a congregation at that point and where things were at internally. Maybe this next year, just plan on somebody in this group. You can reach out to that person, get to know them, but also the people outside the group as well. Okay, we'll open it up if there are others of you who would like to share. I think the mics are ready. So. Yes, Brother Ed.
I appreciate the message. Right away when Moses started, I thought of the verse of Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was able to endure the cross because he saw what was beyond the cross. And in the Old Testament it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we need to look beyond our present circumstances to experience that joy that God has for us.
You know, you're having shared that. Maybe I'll say a little more. I did have some other comments prepared here. But just taking from 1 Peter 4, where Brother Moses started, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. We're given the mindset usually that, that's a bunch of pie in the sky. Right? Or just a bunch of Victorian puritanism or something. But that's what it says. And there are some other scriptures that relate to that then as well. I'll just read them quickly. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. We wouldn't say that he is sinful. And if we're going to follow in his steps, where does that put us? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Two more. Galatians 5, we know the fruit of the Spirit. And then it goes on, against such there is no law. Because they're already not, they're not misbehaving anymore. So why do you need the laws anymore? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I hope that's not scripture overload, but for the one that may have spoken to you, there they are. Are there more comments? Steve?
Yeah, I was blessed by the song that we sang this morning, Peace, Perfect Peace. On the way to church this morning, we were driving here, and we got down to about Reading, and it was really beautiful. We had clouds in the sky, and all of a sudden, there's holes in the clouds, and the sun's just shining through, and you could see streams of rays of light shining through. It was just really pretty, and my wife and I had noticed it. We're talking about it, and it got me thinking a little bit, what will it look like when Jesus comes back? Could it be today? And then I was just thinking what a blessing it is to know that we can be at peace and have that to look forward to. And then we sang the song, Peace, Perfect Peace. Mm. It flows along really well with what Moses was talking about, but I'd just like to read it and can let the message soak in. peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed. To do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. It is enough, earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace.
Amen. Ephraim?
Really appreciated all the word given to us today. I was taking a lot of notes, feel challenged to take it to my prayer closet and get practical with these things. I know I have so many areas that I can grow in. But I'm thankful that God has spoken, and I just was sitting here when it was winding down and thinking, oh no, it's over already, wishing it could keep going. But thinking about the true hope that we have in Christ Jesus and how we can approach the end times as things get turbulent around us in the world, and the great contrast in Scripture of those that their hearts will fail for fear for those things that come upon the earth, Revelation speaks about, and calling for the rocks and mountains to fall down on them because of their great despair. And then the others, Luke, I don't have it in front of me now, but Jesus said that when these things start to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Such a contrast there, that picture of, yes, it's getting close, and having that anticipation, that eagerness to get to the other side, realizing that it's coming closer. One other thing, a positive thing for some of you to be involved in, we have couples night on the plans for next month, February the 15th. There's invitations in your mailboxes, and if you could let either myself or my wife know if you plan to make it, we would appreciate that. And also, each couple from the church here is invited to have another couple, invite a friend to be here as well, or a couple friends. So, yeah, one other couple, if I'm making myself clear. I think that's it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Brother Ted?
Be here today. My friends, it can't get much better than this, I'll tell you, believe me. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting there in the front row, and I was just before the service and just letting my mind kind of run. And the thought went through my head, you know, if a gunman comes through that door and says, I'm going to start shooting, I'm going to stand up and say, shoot me first. And it's so easy for Brother Ted to die for the Lord, but it's so difficult to live for Him as from time to time. So anyhow, let's all be encouraged. I appreciate the message today, and let's strive to serve the Master.
Amen. Sister Rachel, over here.
Well, I want to say thank you to the message too today. I was so encouraged and so uplifted, and I want to follow the Lord more than usual and read more than usual. And it seems like the older I get, the more I understand the Word. And that's sort of my goal next year, for to serve Him more and more and to love Him more.
Amen. Yeah, Brother Ken.
Thank you for the message today, Brother Mose, and for the opening, Brother Ed. I might be the only one who needed to be challenged today with these thoughts, but it's a good challenge to come across at those right times when you need them. This past week in my reading, I'd come across a psalm, Psalm 35, just a few verses here, starting verse 11, says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. And I realized that in these challenging times, it's easy to say, oh, I'm on that side or I'm on that side. But we realize we need to be on the Lord's side. And he's told us to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so with these thoughts that have been shared and with this passage, I'm just encouraged to go forward fresh, if you will, with the desire to see it from God's perspective and not mine.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.